Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, Sasquatch and Wildcard Casinos in Blackhawk, another great promotion. The grand prize drawing of your choice will be the weekend of March 17th. Either a Honda Rebel motorcycle plus $11,000 in cash, a Kawasaki side-by-side, or nearly $20,000 in cash. Yeah, your choice of what you want. Nobody does promotions like Sasquatch and Wildcard up in Blackhawk. Really loose slots, a terrific sports book, great food as well. Sasquatch and Wildcard, a family-owned casino that treats you like family. Time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Okay, this according to Jeff Duncan, who writes for the New Orleans Times-Picayune. I believe he also worked on a book with Sean Payton. Apparently, the two of them are very close. I don't know who Payton's BFF is, whether it's Colin Cowherd or Duncan, but fair to say they like each other. You know, there's relationships going
on. No question.
This is what Duncan just put out less than an hour ago. Payton completed his interview with Carolina on Monday. We'll meet with Arizona on Thursday. His second meeting with Denver has been delayed. The longer this goes, the likelihood of Payton staying at Fox increases. In the meantime, Dan Quinn will have a second interview with Arizona today with the Cardinals. Greg Penner is a very bright guy, but I'm going to tell you what I've told Mandy, who is in the corporate world, as is your wife, both high-level executives where they work.
Exactly.
And Mandy's not much of a sports fan, but I said, here, there are a lot of differences. While there are a lot of similarities between major sports and business, there are a lot of similarities. This is where there is a tremendous fork in the road. The difference between running a Fortune 500 company and running an NFL team is you're not in the newspapers every day. You're not being talked about every day on the radio or on television or in blogs. Every single day, people are getting information. If you are not giving information, there is a vacuum there. The Broncos have always been very good at getting ahead of the message. And right now, with no second interviews scheduled that we are aware of, and Payton not scheduled as of right now, according to Jeff Duncan, with no scheduled interview with the Broncos, right now the Broncos are getting behind the message. Guys like me and you and the other radio sports talk show hosts in town are filling that void with our own speculation. And I'm not saying that puts pressure on Penner, but what he is doing is being aired out every single day, every single minute, on every single sports talk show.
Probably a new experience for him, isn't it?
This is different than hiring somebody on the C-suite at Walmart.
And I'm not sure how much, although I would probably think that more than we think, he's aware of that. He seems pretty dialed into things. If we look at what the Walton Penner Group has done to this point, from a standpoint of relating to the fan base, it would make sense to me that they would understand, how is this playing out? They would have an understanding of how this is playing out in the court of public opinion, because I think that they understood the moves that they made in terms of making the fan experience better, the facility, spending money and all that. Those were all outreaches to fandom.
It's all about the product on the field. So that's what people care about. They don't care about a new field.
So they get it, right?
Yep.
They get it. And it would make sense to me that they understand the process that you just talked about. But how are they dealing with it? Are they comfortable in that kind of format? Don't know.
Today is going to be a day where Greg Penner and Kerry Penner and Rob Walton, unless something comes out of the Broncos where they try and get ahead of the message, they will all be skewered today on every sports talk radio show. Now that, according to Jeff Duncan, no interview is scheduled with Peyton. Now, there might be things behind the scenes that we don't know about, and I'm guessing there are. But right now, as we sit here with Jeff Duncan's report that Sean Payton is not scheduled for a second interview, and there are no second interviews scheduled, as we sit here at 8:07 in the morning, right now, the court of public opinion looks at Greg Penner and says, you are a fool and you're being played. I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying that is the message because no one is giving us information except for Jeff Duncan, who said Payton's not coming in. Quinn is interviewing with somebody else. Those are reportedly the top two candidates. And how about the dark horse guy, David Shaw? He's been available for a second interview since Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and today. Jim Caldwell, he's available to interview as well. Maybe they're waiting for D'Amico Ryans. I don't know.
Yeah.
But right now, with no information, guys like me and you, we don't make it up, but we make educated guesses. People listen to what we say, what other sports talk radio people say, what the .com people say, what the Denver Post says, what Kisla says, and that becomes the narrative. And they're not doing anything to shape us off this narrative.
Maybe that's just not an important thing to them.
It should be.
Okay.
It should be.
Okay.
You know why it's important? Because you and I both know the people who run PR for the Broncos.
Yes.
And they know it's important to shape the narrative. Patrick Smythe and Eric Schubert are very good at getting ahead of the message.
Mm-hmm.
And either they're being told not to get ahead of the message, or maybe there is no message to get across.
Or they're not in the loop.
They aren't in the loop.
Right.
From my Patrick was part of every interview last year. My understanding is for maybe one or two interviews, he was note-taking. And then Ray Jackson was note-taking.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to keep this very insulated.
Right.
This isn't Walmart, where you can do everything behind the scenes and the media is not going to report it.
Right. But it should tell you a little bit about their style.
Well, their style is losing in the court of public opinion because we are talking about how they have no second interview set up that we are aware of. That is not a good look locally, and it's sure as hell not a good look nationally. You're going to have national people saying today, I guarantee it, if no news comes out about second interviews, what the hell are the Broncos doing? They were first out of the gate with all of their interviews, and now everyone has not only caught up, but they have taken the lead in terms of possibly getting the guy they want.
But do you think that they really care if the criticism is they need to hurry up and get this thing done?
No, listen, no one said they have to hurry up and get it done.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, how in the hell do you not have a second interview on the books? When you were done with your first round on Friday, have you been in, is it 1-2-3 Cancun? Is that what it is for the last 4 days?
Oh, I don't think so.
They are opening themselves up for this criticism because we don't know. It's not their obligation to tell us, but again, with no information, someone is going to fill that vacuum, and that's going to be guys like me and you and everybody else in town. I'm reading Twitter. I'm seeing media members saying, what the hell are the Broncos doing right now with nothing set up? And you're letting Peyton play footsie with other teams. And as Jeff Duncan said, the longer this goes on, better chance he's going to go to Fox. So,
which I think has probably been the main thing all along.
And you know what?
Right.
How does it look? Like it or not?
Yeah.
Like it or not, Greg Penner, you didn't get Harbaugh. And now you might
which
not.
Which might have been a blessing, but I hear what you're saying.
Right.
Go ahead.
You won't get Harbaugh, and you might not get Sean Payton.
Yep.
So it looks like the guy who's swinging big for the fences struck out. Especially if you hire, I'm not saying Quinn won't be a great head coach, Ryans won't be a great head coach, Shaw won't be a great head coach, but for the home run swings you took, you missed. You didn't get the guy. You didn't get the hot candidate out there. Somebody else did, and you got stuck with this guy. That guy might turn out to be the best coach of all of them. Sometimes the best decisions are the ones that are never made. Sometimes the best trades are the ones that are never made.
But we don't know where they were with Harbaugh. We don't know if it was we still don't know if it's a go big or go home proposition. We don't know. But I hear where you're coming from. And when
I'm just saying the Broncos ownership is allowing guys like us to control the narrative because there's no information coming out.
My guess is they probably aren't very concerned about that. And maybe they should be. Maybe they should be. And maybe the next time that they hire a coach, they will be.
Well, let's hope there isn't a next time anytime soon.
Well, I would hope. Well, in that case, no one's going to care then how they got it. Because if they get the right guy and they start winning games, all of this will be forgotten. You know that as well as I do.
I agree.
All we are doing right now is cycle. We are continuing to cycle through. Well, we're continuing to work our way through news cycles. And to your point, and you're right on target about this, there is no such thing as a vacuum. If there is a vacuum, we will fill it with speculation.
That's right.
Absolutely. No
educated
question about
speculation.
Educated speculation.
I'm not just pulling this out of my ass.
No, of course not.
And neither are you. We talk to plenty of people that understand stuff that we don't know what's going on. That's why we talk to them. Coming up after the break, the Broncos probably won't have a new head coach today. But the Rockies could have a Hall of Famer today.
Come on.
We're going to bring in my opinion, one of the foremost experts when it comes to sabermetrics, when it comes to stats. Former Dodgers GM Dan Evans joins us next. He helped push Larry Walker across the finish line to get into the Hall of Fame. Dan is next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Eric Cook at Farmers Insurance. The Cook Insurance Group, focused on people, not policies. Call today at 303-790-8089. That's 303-790-8089.
Okay, today is the day. Will Todd Helton go into the Baseball Hall of Fame? This report coming from John Morrissey from MLB Network. This is what he just tweeted out less than an hour ago. Todd Helton is on 80% of the known ballots that have been tracked and recorded, meaning people voted and they actually made their ballots public. Morrissey goes on to say last year, his drop-off advanced to actual was 5%. He goes on to write, if that holds true, he would be elected with 75.1% of the vote. You need 75%.
Wow.
This could be decided by a couple of ballots either way. With that, I am absolutely thrilled to bring in a longtime friend of mine, Dan Evans. He and I did some shows together in Chicago, pre and post game for the Cubs and the White Sox. Former Dodgers general manager, helped turn that franchise around. He's got a long resume here, so you have to bear with me. Rocky Mountain chapter president of Sabre, that's Sabermetrics, that's baseball analytics. Those baseball analytics helped push Larry Walker into the Hall of Fame. Dan was one of those guys who helped push Larry Walker into the Hall of Fame. Also, just for fun, he's the COO of the Field of Dreams, and you're familiar with Field of Dreams. With that, Dan, did I get everything in?
Just about, Eric. I walk the dog a lot and I have a lot of fun outside of work. So, yeah, I think we got it.
Well, I'll be the first to say we were in Chicago together. We're both Chicagoans. Now we're both out here in Colorado. I live in Denver. You live in Boulder. And shame on the Montforts for not bringing you in for an interview, because I don't think the expenses would have been that high for you to drive down to Coors Field. But I digress. Let's talk about Larry Walker getting in. People compare him to Todd Helton potentially getting in. Do you think Helton gets in this year?
Well, if he doesn't get in this year, Eric, I think he's going to get in one of the next couple years. The ballot gets a little more difficult next year with three new players on the ballot that are really elite guys, and that might squeeze Helton down a little bit. I think he's benefiting from a softer year. My gut tells me he's not going to get in this year, and it's going to be close. If I would have voted, I would have voted for Roland, Wagner, Beltran, and Helton. I think a lot of people fight the Coors Field effect, and Helton was more effective than Walker was. Helton, before the humidor, was about a 335 hitter with a 620 slug. The rest of his career, he was about 309 with a 504. So there's arguments there, but I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's inner circle. I think Walker was a better player than Helton, a better all-around player, and I worked against them when they were on the same team. And very honestly, Eric, there was no doubt in our mind as a team with the Dodgers and with the Mariners that Walker was the better player than Helton. But I think they both get in. I'm hoping for Todd. And if he doesn't get in, our Sabre chapter here in the Rockies are going to work really hard to get a plaque for him in Cooperstown in 24.
Dan, a real pleasure. Bruce Hurdle here. Thank you for the time. Todd Helton was a guy that slashed very impressively on the road as well. I want to double back to the Coors Field effect. How real is that still with voters? And is it changing, starting to change anyway, as some of the older guys are being farmed out and younger voters are coming in? Or do I have that all wrong?
Well, Bruce, first, congratulations on being added to the squad. You know what? For me, I think the big change for the Rockies was when the humidor was installed. I think it was 02, 03, somewhere in there. Before that, it was just ridiculous. I mean, you know, I was there for many games and with different teams as an evaluator, as an official. It was just a different ball game. I think as those players are moving through the Hall of Fame process, and now it's all humidor at Coors, I think it's a more balanced situation. I think Walker definitely helps Helton because people saw the arguments. But one of the big arguments about Helton is, as a road player, he was a 287 hitter with about 35% of his career home runs. Nowhere near the player that he was at home. And that's not his doing. I mean, he was drafted, signed, and played for that club and played his whole career for that team. But I think it's very real. There's a bias because his numbers are inflated. There can't be any argument about that. I mean, he was a different hitter at Coors. I think it was 345 career versus the road 287. But those first few years without a humidor, he put up numbers that he never replicated again. And I think that's why he hasn't got in initially, Bruce. Mm. Those inner circle guys are no doubters. And I think Helton is he's an average Hall of Famer, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a really great player. But there's been a lot of guys on the ballot ahead of him who were dudes, and I think as a result, they merited stronger consideration.
Mm. I'll throw one thing at you that is not a metric thing. It's for lack of a better phrase, it has to do with weather patterns. Okay. It has to do with the sun. If I was trying to sell somebody on Todd Helton, I'd say, yes, he only had 3 gold gloves. But when you had Troy Tulowitzki throwing him the ball from shortstop, one hopping just about everything, and then you had Arenado making crazy plays and one hopping some, the fact that Todd Helton had to make almost every play in the sun in his eyes between the first and probably the fourth inning for every night game, I think that needs to be taken into consideration.
That's a good call, Eric, and a lot of people don't recognize how difficult it is to play first base. I shagged some balls in BP a few times at first, and it's a challenge, of course. But I will say this. I think there were 3 or 4 better first basemen in the National League during his time with the Rockies at first base, and I think they were clearly better first basemen. So I think, you know, while he won 3 gold gloves, and there's a lot of merit to that, I mean, Walker won 7. And I don't think that Helton was ever the best first baseman in the National League, and I think that does hurt him somewhat, separating him from some of the other guys.
One more quick thing. I had a long conversation with Tracy Ringlesby, who's A, a Hall of Famer, but B, a Hall of Fame voter. And he and I were talking on the phone, and I said to him, you know what? I really think that the voting needs to change. I know the writers are not going to give up their right to be the exclusive ones to vote, like a pit bull would never give up a steak. But this needs to be expanded out because, unfortunately, I think that you have people who hold grudges. I think it becomes personal. And I have said this on the air, Dan. I've probably never said this to you. I have covered thousands of professional athletes. And if I had to pick one guy that I despised the most out of all of them, it is Todd Helton, and it's not close. I despise Todd Helton as a human being, but I'd vote him in for the Hall of Fame. And there need to be more guys like me that don't make it personal.
Yeah, but Eric, you know what? In 1936, when they opened Cooperstown, they opened the Hall of Fame. Just think of how different the media was back then than it is in 2023. I mean, we have digital media, we have broadcast people that did not exist in 1936. So I think the electorate should change because the game has changed and the way we cover the game has changed. But one thing about Helton, too, that I think he suffers from, his team has been terrible. And they were awful throughout most of his career until the end when he was already waning in skills. So during his prime time, nobody got to see him play in October. The spotlight was never on him like it was for Carlos Beltran, like it was for some of the truly, the great players in the game who get a bigger stage. And I think the Rockies' inability to put on a good club throughout the most of his career probably hurts him. And it probably also hurts him that the Rockies really don't go out of their way to market their players' Hall of Fame candidacy. And I think that's a problem. Some teams just decide not to do that. And that's why our Sabre chapter in the Denver area has been very aggressive about Walker and will be aggressive about Helton.
All right, Dan, I'm curious, putting Todd aside for a second, give me a sense for PEDs and where we're going, because this is another area at Cooperstown that I think that there is good debate now, certainly healthy debate. But will that wane as well? And will there be more acceptance for the performances that players that were involved with performance-enhancing drugs, will there be more of an attitude of, yeah, hey, let's get these guys in, they still produce numbers? Or is that some place where the flag gets planted on the hill and there are some people that are going to say, no way, not going to happen?
It was pretty raw for me. I was a GM during that period, an assistant GM during that period, and there were some things going on that, I was in the Mitchell Report, so it's very obvious where I stood.
Right.
I think one of the things that's going on here that's going to be really interesting, and I really believe in it strongly, everybody's got their own little spot on this whole mess, and I'm just another dot on the matrix. But for me, what I love is when these guys go to their peers on the Veterans Committee, when they strike out over their 10 or 15-year periods where they don't get in, and then they have to go in front of their peers, in front of a group of Hall of Famers and really great people in the game's history, and those people decide their fate. For me, you made that decision when you decided to do PEDs. And if you're not comfortable with your peers judging you, then maybe you should have made a better decision earlier in your career. Mm. I personally don't like seeing any of the known PED users in Cooperstown because, to me, it was a really terrible time for the game, and I don't like the fact that their numbers are tainted badly by what was going on.
Mm. We are talking with Dan Evans, former Dodgers general manager, Rocky Mountain chapter president of Sabre. If you don't know what that is, basically it's all about analytics and seeing the game a different way. Basically, and Dan's going to probably poo-poo this, if they did a movie called Moneyball 2, they could have done it on Dan Evans. They just happened to do it on Billy Bean. But Dan...
I didn't see the first one, Eric. I didn't see Moneyball. I haven't read the book, haven't watched the movie.
Why? That's like right up your alley.
Yeah, I don't have to. We were doing things 15 years earlier with the White Sox that they,
right.
You know, I've heard they talked about in the movie, and I just don't like to watch reruns.
Right. Well, well done. Well done. Yeah. You brought up that the guys who did PEDs, I'm sure you're referring to Bonds and Clemens, should not be in the Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
Yep, that's how I feel.
Why is Bud Selig in it? When he oversaw this, he knew exactly what was going on. Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I'm not looking at executives. For me, that's a different situation.
He condoned it.
You know,
he knew what was going on.
You don't really know if he knew what was going on. People had different filters at that time, Eric, and I'll say that because I was in the Mitchell Report, and I said some things in the Mitchell Report that I got phone calls on saying, you know, how would you know that? How did you know that? I wasn't aware of that from other baseball people, and everybody had their own filters at that time. For me, you know, you really knew your own, and if you had good scouts and you had good people, you could see changes in bodies, you could see changes in performance, but everybody had different measuring tools. I mean, I had people on staffs that were absolutely oblivious to what was going on, and I had others that didn't. So I don't judge the executives. I judge the players because they knowingly decided to take them or not take them. And the ones that didn't, you know, their numbers remained where they were their whole career. And I think too many of them are harmed by the fact that they didn't participate. And as a result, I mean, people like Fred McGriff, 493 home runs, that's almost certain to be a Hall of Famer in most periods. But because of what was going around him, look what he had to do. He had to go in through the Veterans Committee.
Yeah.
That to me is a shame.
Yeah. One more thing, using a baseball term, I'm going to throw you a curveball here. You probably weren't expecting this question. Are the Rockies in good hands or bad hands with Bill Schmidt running the show?
I don't know because their personnel is the same. They have the same people on the staff, and I think clearly it just hasn't worked the last 4 or 5 years. They have one of the worst records of developing players and field performance at the big league level. I've known Bill a long time, but I think the culture at Coors Field needs to change. And the disappointing thing as a baseball fan, and I'm a huge fan of the game and love the ballpark. To me, not doing anything to improve yourself during the offseason is a hard thing for me to accept. You win 68 games, you really don't have much of a farm system. I don't think they got better, and the division got better. So for me, that's what I find fault, is their culture and their strategy. And, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I just look at it and say, fresh blood, newer faces would probably help them moving forward instead of regurgitating the same concepts and culture year after year.
I have two words to tell you that things are going to be great for the Rockies moving forward.
God.
Zach Veen.
Oh, there you go.
He's the answer, man.
Yeah.
They just need another 5 years for him to develop, and then everything's going to be okay, right? Because they always seem to pin their hopes on one guy.
Yeah, this isn't hoops. This isn't hockey.
Right? Right.
You don't tank to get Bedard in baseball. You just don't. You know, it's a very different world, and they need multiple Zach Veens, but they also have to bring in some people who have won with other clubs to teach the current group how to win because they don't know.
Well, Dan, I'm still excited, and I'm going to call you, and we'll celebrate when Chris Bryant hits his first home run in Coors Field in now his second year playing there.
Well, I'm hoping Chris plays well because he's a good guy. It's just a shame he was so dinged up last year. But don't pin everything on him.
No, Dan, I'm not. It's
for 23. It's going to take a lot more than Chris Bryant playing well for the Rockies to improve.
Yeah, that was very tongue-in-cheek. I apologize.
Dan, appreciate your time as always. This summer, let's find a way to get on the golf course, okay?
Let's do that, and let's have you at a Sabre meeting, and you can have fun talking about baseball.
Wow. Well, Jason Hirsch will not let me in the door. He will look at me and say, we're not letting this guy in here. I'm sure of it.
That might be a smart guy.
We're going to celebrate Sabre Day Sunday, February 5th at Jason's Fast Performance. Sabre members are going to meet there, and we're going to learn how people use analytics and how they do instruction. And Jason's a great friend. I knew him in high school, actually.
Right.
And he's given us his facility so we can learn from one of the best people in the game. So I'm excited about February 5th.
Wow.
Well, you know what? I'll give Jason a call. Here's something you don't know about Jason. We had a party at the house recently. He and his lovely wife came, and in his 6'7" frame, that guy can pound fireball like nobody's business.
He's a big leaguer. Come on, Eric. Let's go, man.
He is the tallest Jewish man I know, and I say that as a member of the tribe. Dan, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dan.
Hope to see you soon.
Thanks a bunch, guys. See you later.
See you, pal. All right, coming up after the break, history could be made tonight at Ball Arena. A milestone will definitely be made tonight at Ball Arena. Jared Bednar talked to the media yesterday, and he said something at his press conference that made me sit back in my chair and say, wow, I cannot believe this came out of his mouth or any coach's mouth. What did he say? That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silterhar Mazda. Get to Silterhar in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silterhar Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
Well, history could be made when the Avalanche play the Capitals tonight, as a significant milestone will definitely be reached as well. Jared Bednar getting ready to coach his 500th career regular season game as the Avs head coach. He also needs one more win to become the winningest head coach in franchise history. And yes, this includes the Quebec Nordiques, as I said, franchise. Michel Bergeron and Bednar both have 265 career regular season wins. But if you turn back the clock to Bednar's first season on the job, in which the Avs finished with 48 points, not even he could have seen this coming.
Well, there's some worry in there different times during, like, this isn't a forgiving league, right? Like, it's a results oriented league, and coaches tend to get, you know, moved on fairly quickly, I would say. So I say I'm fortunate to work for not only the Colorado Avalanche, but the people within the organization. And they've shown me a lot of trust, and it's a two-way street. And, but, you know, you go through some tough times and you do worry about, like, for me, after my first year, I thought there was a better than average chance that I would be let go. And, you know, it's just the way we're going to have to deal with it and move on.
To your point, our point earlier about patience, it's difficult to have in a knee-jerk world, but it's still virtuous. And Jared Bednar is a really good example of the importance of patience if you have the right guy. And that's always the big if, right? Do you have the right guy? Are there enough signs there that given the right amount of time, effort, support, they're going to do the job and do it well? Jared Bednar is a really good example of that. And Joe Sakic deserves, to me, a lot of credit for being patient in the moment, because look at how he's been rewarded.
I found it amazing that he actually came out and said publicly, I thought I might get fired. Good for him.
Yes.
Good for him for being honest about it. But as we've talked about throughout the body of this show today, getting ahead of the message is something the Broncos have always done really well. Mm. And right now they're not ahead of the message. They have no second interview set up as far as we are aware of. The supposed interview with Peyton was supposed to be tomorrow. Right now, it's not on the books, according to a report from Jeff Duncan, who writes for the local New Orleans paper. And I said to you, for the Penner Group, and I'm doubling back to get forward with what I'm about to say, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny. There's going to be a lot of criticism of Penner today, even though we don't know what is going on behind the scenes. And the reason is because he owns the Denver Broncos. There is a white hot spotlight on that franchise every single day of the year. There is not that same scalding hot spotlight on the Nuggets, the Avalanche, or the Rockies. The media scrutiny pales in comparison to what we give the Broncos. So when you have that type of media scrutiny, unfortunately, you have to make quicker decisions, or else the fan base is going to get really upset. For the Rockies, media doesn't talk about them that much.
Nope.
Dick Monfort is not necessarily motivated to do anything. People are not, you know, talking about them on sports talk radio all day. And quite frankly, the same is true for the Avalanche or the Nuggets. The Avalanche were able to be more patient with Bednar because we weren't in their kitchen as the media. Hmm. Same thing with Michael Malone. Same thing with Dick Monfort. But for the Broncos, it is different.
Agree.
They could be more patient with Jared Bednar.
Yes. And that's a good point. You're absolutely right. If we're going to double back to ownership, they're working their own way. And this is the first time that they've done this in a sports-related way.
This is not a Walmart hire, right? where the media doesn't get involved and you have no idea what's going on. Everything can remain behind the scenes. They're learning as they go, and today they will find out. There will be a tidal wave of criticism from every media outlet saying, what in the hell are you doing? At the end of the day, they might have a plan. Penner might sit up there in a week and say, this was our plan all along. No, everybody panicked, but this is what we were doing. But right now, it looks like they have no plan.
But
as we sit here today, it looks like they have no plan. And because they are not filling the vacuum with information, we will fill it for them.
Do you think they feel pressure?
I don't know. I would think that they would.
Hmm.
I love it when athletes say, I don't pay attention to the media. Yes, you do. You know who paid attention to the media more than any guy I've ever covered in my lifetime is Mike Shanahan. He had tapes of the nightly broadcast on his desk at 6 o'clock in the morning, as well as all the papers, so he could read what people were saying writing about the Broncos.
And let me reiterate that, because I agree with you. Everybody knows what's being said about them, because if you're not reading it or hearing it yourself, your people are. That's why you have people to do those kinds of things.
It would not surprise me at all. Patrick Smyth is a very bright PR guy. It would not surprise me if he said to Greg Penner, although Greg's his boss now and they have a new relationship, but I'm sure if Patrick has not talked to Penner, he's probably wanting to say, we need to get ahead of this. That we're going to lose the PR battle. We got to get ahead of this. And I'm sure Penner is probably thinking, that's not the way I do business. I am not going to conform to the media. I got news for you. Once the concrete has been poured and it starts to set, it's hard to undo that concrete getting hard.
Unless the only thing that you can jackhammer it with is success.
That's right.
Yeah. You get success and all of it can be undone. But it takes a while, because think about the time frame now. We are in February. Well, we're in the end of January. This decision, we think, is going to be made. And we really don't get going again until May for OTAs. But competitively, we don't get going till September. That's a lot of time to fill.
Here's the bottom line. Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, the two hottest names out there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Greg Penner would have loved to have had both. I've used this analogy all week, and I'll use it again. It's like winning the Marlin tournament. You get that photo op holding up the Marlin. And that maybe could have been Harbaugh. That maybe could have been Payton. What do you think the scrutiny is going to be if neither of those guys, we know Harbaugh's not the guy, if Peyton doesn't get it and they do hire Quinn or Shaw or Caldwell and it doesn't work out? Penner is going to get skewered because he didn't reel in the big fish.
He didn't by reel some. In. Yeah, I think you're right. By some.
Listen.
I can tell you.
Hold on. If Sean Payton gets hired and the Broncos get off to an 0-2 start, people will say, you know what? Sean Payton's career, he can turn it around. He has a history. If the head coach is Caldwell, Shaw, Ryans, Quinn, 0-2 record, what the hell was Greg Penner thinking? That will be the narrative. He screwed it up. Yes, success will make you look good. But let's look at the last three coaching hires. By Elway, Elway, and Peyton. They were all hoping for success, and they didn't get it. Elway has been crushed for his decisions on coaches after Kubiak, crushed for decisions on quarterbacks, Peyton crushed on Hackett, getting crushed on Wilson. And oh, by the way, I guess Greg Penner maybe believes some of that media stuff. You know why? Because George Payton's not going to be sitting in on the second interviews. Maybe he's buying into all the media criticism. Well, now the spotlight turns to him. I'm not saying he's going to make a bad decision. I'm not saying he doesn't know what he's doing. What I'm saying is we don't know what is going on. We shouldn't necessarily be privy to know what is going on. But right now, the optics are no second interviews set. Peyton is going to Arizona on Thursday. Quinn is in Arizona today. Those apparently seem to be the top two candidates. And they're not in our building. They're in Arizona, where ironically I will be on Friday. I'll let you know what's going on there. I will be on location. What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
We'll talk about the line movement in the AFC Championship game and also discuss Tom Brady's comments about potential retirement. That's all next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
She's a lover, baby, and a fighter. Should have seen her coming when it got a little brighter. With the name...
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just In Case You Missed It is presented by Argonaut Wine and Liquor. You need to see why Westward named it the best liquor store in Denver 5 years running, or order online at argonautliquor.com.
All right, guys, just in case you missed it, when Tom Brady was asked about his potential retirement via Brady's podcast, Let's Go, with Larry Fitzgerald and Jim Gray, Brady said, "If I knew what I was going to effing do, I would have effing done it. I'm taking it a day at a time." So it seems like Brady is still undecided about his future and is kind of getting annoyed by people asking him about retirement. Are we still under the impression that Brady will be a Raider or a 49er next season, or has that sentiment changed?
Well, come on, Tom. What do you expect? You're TB12, for God's sakes. We're always going to wonder, have you been living for the last 5 or 10 years? Stop. You know the culture that we're in. Yeah, I think the Raiders makes the most sense, if it makes any sense at all. I don't know. We got Tom Brady, still an awfully good regular season quarterback. But boy, he looked very human in that playoff game.
That was Argonaut Wine and Liquor. Just in case you missed it, always the best prices out there, specifically on wine. They always have great specials on wine right now. All Portuguese and Spanish wines are 15% off. Argonaut Wine and Liquor. See why Westward calls them the best liquor store in Denver 5 years running. Find them off of Colfax. Order online at argonautliquor.com. Order on their app. Best out there. That's going to do it for us. We'll see if there's any change in the Broncos coaching situation tomorrow. I'm guessing something will come out. What do you think?
Yes, there will be movement on some level.
Getting ahead of the message today?
Probably. Don't know if that's a priority. Doesn't seem like it's a priority, does it?
Well, I guess we'll be back to fill the vacuum tomorrow morning as everybody fills the vacuum today. Zach, Alex, great job today. Same with you, Bruce. I'll try and do better tomorrow. Make it the best possible day you can.
That is the question. But I forget you don't expect an easy answer. When some